of Vacation Bible School. I've always loved it. I can still recall the things I made when I was in Vacation Bible School. I made a little match, scratcher, what do you call them? Strike matches on. Match striker. All of you use cigarette lighters, you know what they are. You better not. But anyway, I made one of those. I made a little match holder one time. And I made the prettiest stick horse you ever saw in your life. Tame as could be. And I love Vacation Bible School. I still love it. Something about it. When I get up here on the platform, I get a kick out of it and enjoy it. I was thinking Friday morning, as I watched the hundreds and hundreds of kids leave for the last time in Bible school this year. I was watching all the kids leave, and my mind wandered back to 27 years ago this summer when I conducted my first Vacation Bible School as a pastor. Church out in the country, and 60 kids showed up, and I created Silly Billy. He's one of my kids. Silly Billy has been, now he's all over America. Bible schools all over the nation have him now. He's the ugliest boy in all the world. He has big ears, about that big around. Big buck teeth. I can't. But look at the fish. You'll see him. Nice to have you back, brother. he has big eyes and a big nose and a big, great big feet about that long stick out underneath old pair of trousers. And he has, for suspenders, he has a rope. And he has just a big, he's the ugliest boy in all the world. And the lesson is, it doesn't matter how ugly you are, you can always come to Vacation Bible School. 27 years ago, I invented Silly Billy and also Fuadini. Back in those days, Fuadini was a gospel magician, performed tricks. And I would introduce, I would say, now we're going to have Silly Billy. I'd go outside and become Silly Billy myself and come back in. Yes, I had to put on extra things to make me ugly. And I'd become Silly Billy. And then I would leave and come back out as that pastor, and I'd say, now we have that world-famous magician, Fuadini. I'd go out, change in a Fuadini outfit right quick, come back, perform some tricks. I didn't like to do all the job, but I needed all the money. And so I was all of them. And I got thinking, as I watched the kids go out Friday, I had a real traumatic time up here watching them go. 20 years ago, I invented the old-timer down at Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas. The old-timer this year is 107 years of age. Hadn't missed Bible school in 103 years. He's an old man. Has hair like a mop. May even be a mop. But anyway, his hair comes down, wears an old white outfit. And he's one of our characters in Bible school. But I got to reliving Friday morning. I looked over in the beginner section and I saw Becky crying. Oh, Becky's married and has two babies of her own now. But she grew up on Silly Billy. And I saw her as she did 20 years ago, sitting with the beginners, crying because she's afraid they're going to get her daddy with that knife or that pen. I looked over in the beginners and I saw Dave sucking his thumb. He always did. He's preacher now, but I remembered how he grew up said Billy. I saw Linda sitting there in the beginners. Linda was a worker this year in Bible school, but I saw her sitting there. She said last night, she said, Dad, I can still remember how I was afraid they were going to stick you with that knife. And I saw Cindy screaming, look out, Dad. There comes Silly Billy. He's going to bust that balloon. And I looked over the crowd, little nursery kids up here, waving goodbye to me like that. I never figure out why they wave like that. He's squeezing something, you know. And I'd wave the same way and threw a kiss up here. That section up there sure is uglier this morning than it was last Friday. But anyway, and I saw them leaving, and the beginners, and the primaries, and the juniors, and the junior hires. Then suddenly I looked at the workers. I looked at the workers. I saw some that had been working in Bible school for many years. But suddenly as I was standing here watching the folks leave, my attention was arrested by one special group of workers. And that group of workers was a group of those who had grown up in our Bible school. I mean, since I'd been here, they were beginners, in primaries and juniors and junior hires. And now they're adults. They too had cried in the nursery. They too had sat wide-eyed, looking at Fuidini through beginner eyes. They too had screamed with the primaries, look out, preacher, he's going to bust the balloon. They too had sung with the juniors and doubted with the junior hires. But now they're grown. Yet there they sat with charm and poise and purity and joy and grace. You know, that's really what makes it worthwhile. That's really what it's all about. If we couldn't see some of them turn out right, what value would it all be? And I got thinking about Mrs. McKinney and others who've worked with beginners all through these years. And now we have grown people working in Bible school who once sat over there in Mrs. McKinney's department. She must be 114 years old. Sort of makes it worthwhile. And I rushed to the office. And I got to writing the poem again. I don't think I'll be able to read this all the way through, but I'm going to try. This is what I wrote. Listen. It's called Some Favorite Vacation Bible School Workers. Today I saw you sitting with a Bible in your hand. You thought you were not noticed by the silly preacher man who occupied with children and the silly Billy clan. Yet as I saw you singing, I relived your whole lifespan. I glanced up to the nursery, and much to my surprise, I saw you watching Pee-wee with amazement in your eyes. Just yesterday you got here, and tomorrow you go away. He thinks I'd best enjoy it while you're here today. I looked at the beginners and heard you say, somehow, I'm scared of Fuidini, and I want my mommy now. Then soon your face grew brighter, and your sadness was erased, for you noticed Silly Billy with a pie upon his face. Then I saw you sitting with primary children, too. It was hard for me to fathom that it really could be you. Could that little impish cherub with a red and ruddy cheek be a poised and charming teacher in our Bible school this week? Just then I saw you standing with the junior girls and boys. Your face was red with fervor as you added to the noise, the devil's got some scissors, he'll be busting your balloon. And then we sang a Peter Rabbit to an off-key Hiles's tune.
I glanced over to the junior high and saw you sitting there. It seemed to your old pastor, you were everywhere. I've prayed and hoped and preached so hard as I have watched you grow. A while ago you hated guys, and now you have a bow. Today you are a teacher with character and poise. A while ago you sat and sang with all the girls and boys. So now I see you sitting there with the Bible in your hand. I'm glad you were my young'uns, and I, your preacher man. That's what makes it all worthwhile, folks. Somebody believes us. Oh, I know we have some smart alecks. We had some this week in Bible school, got in cars, drove off while Bible school was going on. I know we have a bunch who think they're above obedience and above minding mom and dad, but blessed be God. Hallelujah! Not all of them are punks and bums and no counts. Some turn out good and for God. Amen. And that's what makes it worthwhile. While some were working and looking for a place to work, others of the kids were in cars driving off with the wrong crowd. I had one thought. One thought hit my mind as I walked away and went to my office. And that is, the only day we have to rear these kids is today. That's all we have. It's too late when they're teenagers. Too late. Today. Today. I guess. Once somebody asked a well-known preacher that knows me well, so what do you think is a secret to Dr. Jack Hiles? And the well-known preacher said, I can tell you in one word. Today. Today. He serves today. He lives for today. There's no tomorrow, for tomorrow will be today tomorrow. And there's no yesterday, for yesterday was today yesterday. And the only time anybody ever gets saved is today. The only time anybody ever serves God is today. In God's dear name, if you ever plan to rear your kids for God, do it today. Don't wait till tomorrow. If you ever plan to serve God or drive a bus or have a bus route or get saved or live for God or preach the gospel or go to college or do something good or teach a Sunday school class or go soul winning, do it today! Again and again and again, the Bible says today is the day and today is the time and now is the time. And heed today and listen today and serve today and get saved today. You don't know you'll be here tomorrow. I thought of 1 Kings 22:5, inquire at the word of the Lord today. In Psalm 95:7, today, hear his voice. In Hebrews 3:7, today, harden not your hearts. In Hebrews 3:13, today, exhort one another. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. Today's the day to serve God. We have a lot of used to wuzzers and gun of ears. We need some folks serve God today. I'll serve God when I get out of school, says one, but that one goes to school and says, I'll serve God when I get married, and that one gets married and says, I'll serve God when my baby's born, and that one has a baby and says, I'll serve God when the baby's older, and the baby's older, that one says, I'll serve God when the baby's grown. When the baby's grown, that one says, I'm too old to serve God. Let the younger folks do it, and they live and die and never serve God. The folks that get the job done for God are not folks who are going to do something tomorrow. It's those who are going to do something today. Years ago, Evangelist Joe Boyd, and I was a kid preacher, said to me, he said, Jack, you know how you want to be guaranteed you'll be in the will of God 10 years from today? I said, I'd like to know I'll be in the will of God 10 years from today. How can I guarantee it? And Joe said, be in the will of God today, for tomorrow will be today tomorrow. Serve him today. I may be in heaven tomorrow, so gladly I'll serve him today. Two things, two simple thoughts. One is, today is the day of service. Today is the day of service. Today is the tomorrow you dreamed of yesterday. Today is the yesterday you must remember tomorrow. Today is the day of service. Your young folks need you today. America's dying today. Look back there a while ago and saw Mrs. Erickson and thank God for being here. She sat one morning in the civic center just a few weeks ago, sat in the civic center and looked down and she couldn't see me very well. And that's enough to alarm anybody when you can't see me very well. And say amens every once in a while. But anyway, she couldn't see me very well. And she said to her husband, my vision is blurred. I can't see as well as I think I should. They went to a doctor, and he said it was a pinched nerve, and finally to a specialist, and found she had a tumor in her head, and she's had surgery, and now she has very little vision. She can hardly see, and she's in a wheelchair, and she has other maladies, and she loved to go soul winning, and she loved to serve God, and she loved to be busy for God, and she was busy for God. She didn't know a year ago she'd be in a wheelchair today wishing she could see like she used to see. And you don't know where you'll be a year from now. You say, when I get out of college, I'm going to serve God. You don't even know you'll be alive when you get out of college. You say, well, the house, when I get married, I'm going to serve God. You don't know you'll be lived to get married. In God's dear name, whatever you plan to do for God, do it today. I was thinking a while ago as I was looking around the audience, I was thinking about Mrs. Erickson, one of our dear ladies, and she would not have me mention her name, and if she would, I would not, but since she would not, I will, because she's the kind of lady that wouldn't want us to be known. One of our ladies, Bootsy Mullins, one of our fine ladies, came to Mr. Erickson and said, God has told me that I ought to help your wife. His wife is home now, and she has nobody to help her. She can't be alone. Ever, Mr. Erickson has to go make a living. Bootsy Mullins has quit her job, or is quitting her job. I mean quitting her job, has a good job, quitting it. Just to go out and volunteer services day after day in the cold and hot and sub-zero weather and rainy weather and snowy weather and winter time to drive across from Lansing to Griffith every morning and spend her entire day with dear Mrs. Erickson. So she can help her and help her eat and help her to the bathroom and help her to be safe and to care for her. And I got to thinking, that's the way we all ought to be. We ought to say, Lord, what can I do today? What can I give today? Somebody said, oh, if I had $1 million, I'd give 90% of it to God. Well, have you given 90 cents out of the dollar you have? Huh? Today, you don't know you'll have tomorrow. Now, look at those little kids. They traipsed out of here, waving goodbye at me and waving to Silly Billy and the old-timer and Pee-wee. And I realize we only have today to train them. Just today. Just today. Parents come into my office with teenagers saying, what can I do with my teenagers? You're too late, Mom. You're too late, Dad. You're too late. You're too late. While it was today, now it's tomorrow. Today, train them. Today, love them. I'm not talking just about a trip to the zoo either. I'm talking about teaching them some character. I'm talking about getting close. Listen. Every teenager that comes into my office having trouble has a communication problem with Mom and Dad. One or the other. Everyone. Why? We dream, well, when we have our children, we're going to do this and thus and so, and we get a football for Junior before he's 3 days old, and we get him a football outfit and a bicycle by the time he's a year old, and we get him an educational insurance policy. What he needs more than a bicycle is a dad and mom. Today is the day of service. And then I say not only that, but today is the day of salvation. Today. Nobody gets saved tomorrow. You get saved today. I'm going to get saved when I'm older. No. No, you'll get saved today. You won't get saved at all. There are many of you right now who will die and go to hell someday because it was always tomorrow. Recall that man down in the sand hills of East Texas. Came to church one Sunday morning with his wife. I went back to the invitation time and I said, sir, I've been praying during the service that you'd be saved. Your wife has told me that you're not saved and she's praying for you. And that man, our Mexican friend sometimes say mañana, he would say tomorrow. He meant later on. He'd say tomorrow I'll be saved. He came again that night, and I begged him that night, and he said, no, not tonight. Tomorrow I'll be saved. And I recall how that I took him at his word one day, and he said, tomorrow I'll be saved. And went to his house the next day, and I said, now, you said yesterday you'd be saved tomorrow. I said, now it is tomorrow you ought to be saved. He grinned and said, no, I'll be saved tomorrow. He meant manana. He meant in the by and by. But the road of by and by always leads to the city of never. And he said, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And I will recall that day the telephone rang in the little church office where I pastored in Grange Hall Baptist Church of Marshall, Texas. A little lady said, rush to the hospital, Cann Memorial Hospital, please. My husband is on his deathbed. They say he's had a heart attack. I rushed down to the hospital. They had an oxygen tent around him. And I got inside the oxygen tent and I said, you better be saved. And that man, gasping for breath, said, preacher, I'll be saved tomorrow. And those are the last words he ever said. Tomorrow never comes. Today is the day. If you ever get saved, you're going to have to look at yourself and say, it's time I did it. I'm not going to put it off to tomorrow. I'm not. I'm going to receive the Savior today. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day might bring forth, the wise man said. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I'm talking to dozens of people this morning who are going to get saved someday. No, you're not. Nobody ever gets saved someday. You get saved today. Today. Just put it this way. Whatever you plan to do tomorrow, you'd better do it. Today. This morning, I was thumbing through, early this morning in the office, I was thumbing through my book, one of my books, Strength and Beauty. I was reading a few chapters of it. I was very impressed by it. I thought this fellow sure knows what he's talking about. And, but I read a few chapters of it. I got down to one chapter. I wrote about Bob Keys. I told how that when I was a boy, a teenage boy, Bob Keys and I used to walk down to the Dardis Pharmacy a mile down the road and get a little malted milk. Cost a nickel back in those days. A malted milk cost a nickel. Of course, you worked all day for a dime, but a malted milk cost a nickel. We would walk, and I recalled how one night we sat on the curb and drank our malted milk, and I said, Bob, I said, you know, one of these days one of us is going to hear the others died. He said, oh, come on, Jack, let's don't talk about that. And I said, Bob, it's true. I said, it may be that you'll hear old Jack is gone, or I'll hear old Bob is gone. It may be. But one or the other, one of us is going to hear. I said, Bob, it won't be long. And I said, Bob, we better serve God while we have time. Both of us have tried to serve God. Bob became a preacher, and I became a preacher. I was sitting in a motel room in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Flash came on, the little signal light came on flashing. I called the operator and she said, return a call, please, to Hammond, Indiana. Your secretary wants to talk to you. It's emergency. Or maybe she called. I don't know. I answered the phone. Mrs. McKinney said, Brother Hiles, they just called and said Bob Keys died. I wandered back to that night. We sat there, 17-year-old boys, drinking a malted milk. And I said, Bob, one of these days, one of us will hear the others gone. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how healthy you are, it won't be long till you'll be gone. It won't matter in those days how much money you had. It won't matter. Stack it in barns and build your barns bigger and save it and save it and stuff it away and die someday. It won't matter how much money you had when you're dead and gone. Won't matter whether you ran the place or swept the joint out. Won't matter whether you own the bank or were a teller at the window. It won't matter. The only thing that'll matter then, did you serve God today? Today! Today! Today. So I looked at the kids. As they walked away. And thought something like this. Yesterday, you came to me. Tomorrow, you go away. Oh, may I give my best to you
while you're here today.
Yesterday I watched your birth.
Tomorrow, you, my death. Oh, may I train and nurture you while God doth give me breath.
Yesterday you were a hope,
a prayer within my breast. Tomorrow you'll oft visit me and be an honored guest.
Yesterday you were a child
whose cries disturb my rest. Tomorrow you will spread your wings to fly to your own nest.
Yesterday you were not here.
Tomorrow I'll be gone. May I, dear one, while it's today, teach you to be his own.
Yesterday I cared for you. Tomorrow you for me. Today I give my life anew to show you what to be.
I yesterday stood by your bed. Tomorrow you by mine. I must lead you now, my child, his perfect will to find.
I yesterday looked down on you, now, right today, right in the eye.
Tomorrow I'll look up to you, standing there so high.
Yesterday dreamed of today. Tomorrow relives today.
Today is the only time I'll have to teach you Jesus' way.
Yesterday had a tomorrow.
Today doth own one too. Tomorrow has only yesterdays with no tomorrows in view.
Yesterday we said hello. Tomorrow brings goodbye.
Oh, I must train you hard today before evil days come nigh.
There were many yesterdays and tomorrows many too.
But there's only one today to show you what to do.
Yesterday I vowed to God his truths to you impart.
Too busy here and there I got. Today, you broke my heart.
And that's the story of dozens of parents in this room right now.
You meant to, but you got too busy.
You meant to teach your children decency. You meant to see to it that she'd be a fine Christian young lady. It does not accidentally happen.
You do it on purpose. You do it on purpose. So as I looked at Linda, a worker in Bible school this year, as I looked at a dozen others, and saw the little beginners and little nursery children. One little nursery child said, "I love you, Peter. I love you, Peter." And I said, "Oh, my God, help us today to train them. Today to love them. Today to teach them." And I close with this. As I saw the last one of our young ladies leave, who had grown up in our Bible school, our workers, couldn't help but think of an army of others that didn't make it. It didn't turn out right. Because somebody was going to do something tomorrow.
Somebody said, "Tomorrow I'll teach my child. Tomorrow I'll have conviction. Tomorrow I'll come to church on Wednesday night. Tomorrow I'll tithe. Tomorrow I'll give my best. Tomorrow I'll teach my daughter how to dress. Tomorrow I'll dress right myself. Tomorrow I'll get my boy a haircut. Tomorrow we'll serve God."
It's tomorrow now for many of you. And all you have is a bitter taste of yesterday. May I say in closing again, today is the tomorrow of which you dreamed yesterday. And today is the yesterday over which you'll rejoice or cry and mourn forever. Today. Today. Today, 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 today. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for all the trophies you give us.
thank you for all of the trophies of grace. But Lord, if you tarry and you keep me well, I plan to be preaching here when those little beginners last week are working in Bible school. And I pray you'd help us to serve today, to teach today, so we can rejoice tomorrow. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. There are many moms and dads in this room this morning that could stand up and testify as to what I preached about. It's too late for you. All you can do now is pray. They're grown. They're gone. All you can do is pray. You'd give your right arm this morning if you could know they were in church somewhere, hearing one of God's men. You'd give anything in the world to have them sitting right beside you today. But thank God there are many of us. There are many. We still have a chance today. For your child, it's still today. There are many of you that are not serving God this morning. Oh, you used to. Yesterday you did, and tomorrow you will, but today you're not. Yesterday you did, and tomorrow you will, but today you're not. Oh, you plan to. You have full intentions. But you never will unless you do it today. I wonder how many would say this morning, Brother Hiles, I just better face this year. I'm not doing much today. I may have planned to tomorrow, and I may think I did yesterday, but I'll be honest, preacher, I'm just not doing much for God today. And God has spoken to my heart this morning. I'm going to start doing something today. I'm not going to wait till tomorrow. I'm going to serve Him today. I confess that today I've not been busy about the Master's business, but I will be. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the building. All over the building. All over the building. Yes, there are dozens and scores. Thank you. You can lower your hands. Now then, may I turn my attention to others. Those of you that are not sure you're going to heaven. Those who do not know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven. I wonder who would say this morning, Brother Hiles, I do not know today that I'm saved. Don't you think it's time you quit looking to tomorrow, decided to serve God today and be saved today?